The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, with all this action going on, the operation with Gaza, we've kind of left behind so much other stuff that's been happening in the background. Just a few bits of information. First of all, let's not forget that we still don't have a government after the previous election. There's still work going on in the background to try to form a government. Naftali Bennett has been flick-flacking backwards and forwards as to whether he will support the change grouping or not. It seemed at one stage that the change group was going to be a shoe-in for a government. Naftali Bennett has changed things around. At the moment, we're really not sure where all of that stands, except for Naftali Bennett simply saying that once the conflict is over, then we will know exactly where he stands. But right now, we seem not to know where he stands, and I'm not sure that he knows where he stands either.
Yeah, I got that sense as well. When he said, "I'll let you know after the war's over," I thought,
I'm not sure he's decided yet.
Yeah.
So that's that. We also have a presidential race going on in the background. President Rudi Rivlin is finishing his term. We need to find a replacement for him. We have two front runners at the moment in the form of Isaac Herzog, Buzi Herzog, whose father also was president of Israel, and Miriam Peretz, a former Israeli prize winner. They are the two front runners. That will need to be decided in the next week or so. We have a Eurovision contest going on in the background. Israeli singer Eden Alin has actually qualified for the final song with her song Set Me Free. She is an immigrant from Ethiopia and really represented Israel very well. The final will be on Saturday night in Rotterdam. And then we have a war in Gaza. We have rockets from Lebanon. And we have schools that are still closed and people whose lives have really been significantly disrupted. Many, many people being called out to do reserve duty, Miluim, in order to reinforce the IDF and make sure that we have all the resources, the manpower that we need in order to fight against this particular conflict that we find ourselves in right now.
Right. And let's talk about the conflict. Let's get a summary, if you don't mind, of yesterday's events.
Well, yesterday what we found was a continued rocket fire, particularly towards Ashkelon, towards Ashdod, towards the area of Beersheba, and of course in that Gaza border region would seem to take the brunt of the fire. And the reason is simple. It's very, very cheap and easy for Hamas to fire rockets. Hamas, not only Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad as well, and also other Gaza renegade groups who've been jumping in on the action. Very, very simple, very easy, very cheap for them to fire missiles in that short range area just over the border into the Gaza border region, Sderot, Netivot, places like that. Kerem Shalom even came under fire yesterday, just as there was humanitarian aid from Jordan moving across through the border, crossing into Gaza from Israel, again came under fire yesterday. It's very, very simple for them to fire that short range, and that's really why those border areas have come under significant attack. Unfortunately, quite a number of rockets falling in residential areas, damage having been done to buildings, a rocket falling in the garden of a private home in the middle of a street. So there have been quite a number of rockets that have slipped through the security barrier and have managed to find their way into residential areas, causing not only damage, but also a lot of consternation, concern by people who live there that they are exposed to this rocket fire. Fortunately, people have somehow miraculously escaped being killed, being injured. So that was really what happened yesterday. And there was rocket fire until about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then since then, quiet, blissful peace and quiet. And this goes contrary to what the expectations were, because there was a feeling that even Tel Aviv and Jerusalem may come under fire during the hours of last night. As we potentially move towards a ceasefire, the there is always this sense that there needs to be one last hurrah, moment where you can leave. You know, we always remember the last thing that happened. And so they want, you know, it's very frequent that a lot of attention is drawn to those last hours before the ceasefire, and there would be, you know, some rocket fire towards central Israel in order to allow people to remember that as a parting gift. And that didn't transpire. It hasn't transpired. It's not clear why not, whether Hamas have been so severely disabled that they simply are not really in a position to be able to send off this last salvo, whether they're just taking a break and waiting to see how the ceasefire talks develop, and whether the ceasefire might only come into existence potentially tomorrow as opposed to today.
I actually like that word. I'm sorry, a ceasefire rather than a ceasefire.
Well, that was just a slip.
I know, but it actually works. It works very well, I think.
Well, and it's interesting that, you know, in Hebrew, they don't talk about hafsakat esh as much, which is really the Hebrew term for ceasefire, but they talk about regia, which is like just a calming down of the situation. So that's a term that's being used rather than the official ceasefire term, which would be used normally under these circumstances. Right. So there was an expectation that last night was going to be tense and with a lot of rocket fire. That is not what has transpired. This morning I've seen no reports of any rockets having been fired from Gaza. We did have those four missiles that were fired over the border from Lebanon. One apparently was shot down. The others landed safely without causing any damage or injury. But there was concern that a new front might be opened up along the Lebanese border. That seems to not have transpired as things, as things stand right now. But today is going to be an interesting day, because originally the Egyptians had proposed 7 o'clock this morning as being the deadline to cease fire. That was, first of all, at first it seemed that Hamas were quite desperate to enter into a ceasefire. They were just accepting any old proposal that was being thrown, whether it be by the Egyptians or by the United States, whoever was trying to engineer some sort of calm in the area. The Hamas side seemed to be willing to accept almost anything that was proposed. Israel was less inclined to do so, and continued to attack Hamas targets. Apparently, we still have a fairly lengthy list of targets that Israeli intelligence have gathered for attack by not only the Air Force, but also by the Israeli artillery that are stationed along the border with Gaza, and also by the Israeli Navy, who have been firing missiles from the seaside in towards Gaza from that way in order to be able to hit targets that are more easy from the sea. But they are all, you know, and I'd like to emphasize this for those people who've come under a lot of attack for their support of Israel, because Israel apparently is focusing and targeting schools and civilian areas. That is really not the case, and I want everybody to understand that Israel's intentions are not to hit civilian targets in the least, but really to be focused on Hamas military targets, whether they be homes of Hamas operatives who are using those homes doubled up as military bases, whether it be these tunnels that are being used to protect Hamas people, also to store weapons and armaments, and to be used to attack Israel from under the border, that we need to obviously be cautious about, whether it be ammunition storage facilities and manufacturing facilities. These are the things that Israel has been targeting, and it's been enormously difficult to do so because many of them are located right within residential areas. And so this whole notion, this libel that's claimed against Israel attacking civilian targets, is really untrue. And the only reason why it might look as if though Israel is attacking a civilian target is because the military operations from Hamas are being held right within that civilian neighborhood. And there's a fantastic picture that I was sent, which shows a rocket being fired from the middle of the civilian neighborhood, and then certain buildings have been labeled as to what they are right in that particular vicinity. And I think there are 3 or 4 schools that are shown in the picture, as well as a United Nations facility within one block from where the rockets are being fired. There is also a health clinic sort of a block and a half away. And so this is the nature of the beast that Israel is having to deal with. And so the, you know, one should rest, very secure in the knowledge that Israel's focus is really military only, and they're doing whatever they can to avoid civilian casualties.
Is there any pressure? And I don't understand, or maybe why there's not enough pressure on the international press. We've had Associated Press there. We've had all the fuss about it. Al Jazeera there. Everybody's there. Why have we not seen a single photo of a rocket being fired from within Gaza? They're there all the time. I mean, they are taking bucket loads of photos of sad Gazan children. Why does the camera never take another photo, which is of what is really going on in Gaza, or an alternative view of what's going on in Gaza? And nobody seems to be asking or putting this these questions to international media. Where are the photos? Where is the reporting of what is really going on in Gaza? Our if we have to follow the Associated Press and Al Jazeera, it's such a simplistic view that they have of the region. And yet no one seems to be asking them the questions.
Well, I think those photos do exist, and I would be quite glad to send you the one at least that I have, which I think is a very instructive one for you to feel free to distribute. But the problem is, of course, that even though these photos do exist and they're very, very easy to take, the press, of course, have an agenda. And so it doesn't feed their particular narrative to publish these photographs to show that Hamas is committing these war crimes by using civilian areas for military activities. It doesn't feed the narrative. And, you know, I think that that the listeners out there should really understand that. I would suggest that most Israelis feel very, very sorry for innocent civilians in Gaza, that the Israeli people have nothing against innocent civilians in Gaza, and the last thing that they would want is for them to be harmed in any way. Our issue is with the regime in Gaza, with those people who've taken money and who've taken imports that the Gaza has managed to acquire over the past months, weeks, years, and have used them for the purposes of building up a capability to try to destroy Israel. That seems to be their main objective in life. And, you know, contrary to what Human Rights Watch accuses Israel of, creating an open-air prison out of Gaza and not allowing goods and services to flow into Gaza. I mean, you know, the one small statistic or one small piece of information is that Israel spent 20 million shekels upgrading the crossing to Gaza from Israel to allow smoother flow of goods and services, to allow people to come and work from within Gaza into Israel, because we would like to employ those people to work for us, and we would like to give them the ability to earn a living. And Israel upgraded those facilities at great cost to the Israeli taxpayer in order to facilitate that. And in return, we get this huge construction of effectively a military capability, all the money, all the goods, all the services, all the effort, instead of using the things that have flowed into Gaza to build infrastructure and to build an economy, been using it to build a capability to try to destroy Israel. That is not going to happen, no matter what the effort is. Israel is not there to be destroyed. It won't be destroyed. We are very, very determined to try to respond appropriately and to, of course, protect our country. And if the rumors are true that a ceasefire might come into existence tomorrow afternoon, because that seems to be the latest direction now, that Friday afternoon will be the ceasefire, then most Israelis would welcome that and encourage Gaza to reconstruct and to use the opportunity to build something very positive and very productive, rather than to try to build this capability to destroy us, which is, you know, not only annoying and frustrating for us, but also increases our determination to make sure that we are ready for anything that might happen.
Absolutely. Hachamora says the reason that no photos exist is that Hamas will throw out journalists that don't fit their narrative. And let's not forget, Hamas want to destroy Israel. Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, this is where we leave it. I wish you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, a weekend, a Shabbat of peace. And let's hope that when we chat on Monday, it will be in a much more positive and calmer way.